December is upon us, and we have to ask the question, what are the top 10 Christmas movies?
Oh, it's redundant, isn't it? But we have to ask, what are they indeed?
Hey screeners, how you doing? It's me, the one AJ, Anthony Jordan.
And me, Nico Lero, and we are back once again with another top 10.
We are indeed, guys. Yes, the break has been long, but I thank you for being understanding and forgiving and allowing me to go on a short break for a week. But yes, it feels good to be back. It feels good to be in the studio, and I hope you can return the sentiment and say, AJ, it feels good to see the silver screen dudes back on screen because we missed you guys. I'm not going to lie. I missed you guys. So yes, I'm pumped and ready to go.
It is indeed good to have you back, and it is indeed the season to be forgiving. And listen, I'm going to get the message right out there off the bat. For the people who have been watching us since the first iteration of our YouTube channel, which we rebranded to become this one, you've seen this show before. For the people who have listened to us in audio-only format on podcast, you've seen this show before. However, for our 5,000 now plus new subscribers who are tuning into our YouTube channel for the first time, you've not seen our take on what the top 10 Christmas movies are, unless you're some of the crossover, in which case, hey, welcome back. But a lot of you are new to our channel here, so this is our take on what the top 10 Christmas movies are. Let's talk some movies.
It may be very similar, maybe slightly different, but hey, we're back, we're doing it. It's Christmas, tis the season, so let's spread the joy. But before we spread the joy, Nico, would you like to tell everyone what the movie Mount Rushmore is all about?
Yes, basically it's a top 10 show between two best friends from school. Here's how the show works. AJ and I get us under a list, we go our separate ways, we come back right here into our little video, into our booth here, as you see, and deliver to you, the silver screen dudes, our individual top 10s. This week, AJ will go first, delivering his bottom three. I will then deliver my three. AJ will deliver his two. I will deliver my next two. Then we will trade one apiece when we get to our individual top fives. If at any time while we are rounding off and our individual list, one person has a movie in a high position, the person will say,
punt.
And we will punt and talk about that movie when we get to the high position. Once we have both rounded off our individual top 10s, we will create, in the voice of the dearly departed Matthew Perry playing Chandler Bing, the movie Mount Rushmore. These are the four quintessential diverse must-see movies of the genre, which this week is
top 10 Christmas movies. Now, do I ask you the question? Do we have a poll? Yes. Do we not have a poll? We have a poll. Okay, guys, right. So what goes on after we, the silver screen doers, have the ultimate challenge of creating the movie Mount Rushmore, the four must-see movies of any given category? It gets even harder. It gets even more laser-focused because you have to crown El Capitan, El Numero Uno, the best of the best of the best, sir, with honors. And to quote Highlander, in the end, there can be only one. How do you crown the one? That's pretty easy. You head on over to X, the official, formerly known as Twitter, and you go on over to @MoviemtRushmore, the official X page of the Silver Screen Dudes, but more importantly, the guy that retweet, JT of We Love Movies @MoviePolls4You, and there you will see the one retweeted poll, and that's where you get to crown the winner. Last week, our topic was, a few weeks ago, indeed.
Yeah, even, right. Our topic was, I just want to say quickly, since your Highlander quote, you do know that one of Henry Cavill's next projects is playing Connor McLeod, is playing Highlander, directed by Chad Stahelski, he who directed John Wick.
Oh, this should be fun. I don't know if I want him to be Connor, though. I like the transition of new characters. I like Declan. I like the TV show. Let's get a new McLeod.
No, be Connor.
Yeah.
I'm and cast Declan. Antonio Banderas as Ramos. The topic last a few weeks ago was the smartest decisions in action movies.
And the contenders were?
The Mud Disguise from Predator. The Exploding Pen. Give me the cords, Natalia! From GoldenEye. Mom, where's Wolfie? The Dog's Name from Terminator 2. And You Tell That Wildcat, the Camera from Speed.
This is a real let them fight, innit?
Good.
Right, I'm going to go based off of popularity. And I know this, but it's just, it doesn't get brought up as much as the others. I'm going to go for Speed in fourth place.
No.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh, not the pen from GoldenEye.
Yeah.
Come
Pen
on,
from
guys. That's
GoldenEye
like
got
worse.
done dirty. 7%.
Come on, man. That's the greatest Bond film, people. What's wrong with you? And that's one of the most
Yes,
chilling
it is.
movies, in moments in the greatest Bond movie. Ah, anyway, we digress. Speed at number three.
Yes. Speed actually did all right considering the competition it was with. 19%.
Okay.
That's really
I
cool.
think because of impact, yeah, no matter which way Arnie wins, because of
The Andrew
impact
Man.
to the film, as much as I love the Wolfie moment, Predator has to win because it's what took out the beast. So I'm going to go with Wolfie at number two.
You got it right. Dog's Name Predator Terminator. Sorry, Dog's Name Terminator 2 at number 2 with 30%. Predator did well, man. 44%.
Nice, nice. It is a big moment as well. It is a big
Oh, it's
moment.
such a good film. It's such a good film. It's almost as good as True Lies.
Will there be more Arnie in the list? Stick on and see, people. Stick around and see.
By the way, did you notice that one of the, speaking of True Lies, you know the long bridge that they blow up in the Harry attempt at the end? Did you see that was in GTA 6, the trailer?
Listen, there's a lot of stuff in GTA 6 that has got me very excited.
If you're
Even
going to
just seeing
get
the word
a chance in
twice
GTA 6 to get into a Harrier jump jet and blow up that bridge, I'm going to lose my giddy mind.
it's very likely, actually. It's very,
It's so
it's
likely.
GTA. It's so GTA, isn't it? Yeah. Do you know what's actually really sad, though? That's just hit me. You know how we've gone back with GTA 5 to San Andreas, and we all hoped for like a moment of CJ to be seen in that. It is actually impossible for Tommy Vercetti to be a voice because we've lost Ray.
Depends how long they've been in production, and also the power of AI.
Oh God, the power of AI is don't wrong, it would be kind of touching. I would kind of forgive it on that occasion. I would love
I
to
would
know
be
that Ray
quite happy
recorded.
to see Tommy, an old man Tommy Vercetti, in this Vice City. I'm not gonna lie, but I don't think it's gonna happen. Not because Ray's gone, but because it's not really what GTA does.
No, I know, I know. They killed the one character from four that they brought back in five, which was nuts. But anyway, we digress again. Lester's the only man who survives. Anyway, we digress again. Right, let's kick this off. In at number 10, you may know him as Buzz. You may know him as the man who will provide your best home improvements. And I believe you know him, Nico, as the last man on Earth.
Last
However,
man standing. Yes, sir.
that's the one. Yes, that's the one. I haven't seen the show as yet, but I know you said
So
that's a sweet
good.
one. However, some people know him as, and this isn't an AJ thing, this is official title. Some people know him as the Santa Claus. Yes, we are talking about this great movie. I was just recall having fun with it, you know. A man whose initials Scott something happens to be the same as Santa Claus, and he accidentally knocks Santa off the roof, and by killing Santa, is gradually becoming Santa. And the more he tries to deny it, the more it gradually starts to take over, and he starts to gain the features and the powers and the responsibilities that come with it. I believe it's a trilogy. I recall seeing number
Yes,
two for sure. I don't know if I've seen number three. I can't
there are
recall seeing
three, you're
number
correct.
three. But yeah, I just think it's sweet fun. And again, look, if you've seen our new show, you know we go back in time. This is 90s kids territory. This is what we love. This is the kind of great kids movies you had in this in that era, which I think is missing in the current era, if I'm honest with you. And yeah, it's just great fun. The story is literally that a man accidentally kills Santa, becomes Santa despite his every rebuking of the situation.
Considering the amount of meta references to this movie there are in Last Man Standing, and considering I haven't seen that movie since it was probably first released, I feel like I saw it yesterday. They reference this movie so much in Last Man Standing, it's ridiculous. It's fun. I remember having a really good time with it, and I probably should catch up with it. I'm sure it's on Disney Plus.
It is. It must be. It must be. And if it isn't, one of the streaming platforms would be ridiculously stupid to not have it on there right now.
At this time of year, but Sky will have it, the best streaming platform.
Do need to. Yeah. Well, I'm going to look into that shortly in a few. month's time. Right, okay. In at number 9, also available on Disney Plus, and I believe the words punt are going to come out very, very, very quickly, so you might as well just get your finger on the buzzer now, because yes, my friend, I'm talking Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas.
That would be a punt.
Cool, cool, cool. Right, so for anyone who has listened, watched, and followed the Silver Screen Dudes from whatever iteration, whatever channel, whatever platform, this will be a first. I know I mentioned it before, but I've not seen it before. If you are in the US, you have seen this over and over again, because I'm very, very much aware that this film gets played on loop during Christmas. It is A Christmas Story. I've always heard and seen tweets and stuff relating to A Christmas Story at Christmas from anyone stateside. And I'm like, they're like, I've seen A Christmas Story like 6 times this. I think good old TK, Tony Khan of AEW fame, Jaguars owner and Fulham owners, depending on who you are, if you don't follow wrestling, I've told you who the Khan family are. His tweet last year was like, yeah, just watching it for the 5th or 4th time. And I was like, what? And I was really like, what is this? I don't know if you recognize the kid with the glasses at all, Nick. Have you seen him in any meme or anything?
No.
He's the lead character. He's good old Ralphie, and his whole story is it reminded me a bit of Princess Bride, a bit like When I say Princess Bride, not in the sense of that it had a narration of telling it, more a bit more like Stand By Me, because you've got someone talking and recalling their past. Whereas I suppose Princess Bride is I'm just talking about a film with a narrator at this point, aren't I? But yeah, it's just him recalling his... Yeah, sorry.
It's also like Stand By Me.
There we go. Yeah, no, it's very much a case of him recalling his childhood and first seeing this red Rover shotgun. It's a shotgun. It's a BB gun of one of his favourite heroes that he listens to. And it's him trying to convince his parents to get the BB gun for him, and his mum's very much against it, like, no, you'll shoot your eye out. And then he's like, I need to find a way to convince them to do it. His teacher then puts a school assignment. What is it you want for Christmas? He's like, this is the way to convince the family about it. And it's there, but it's more of it's a childhood story of growing up in a past time, which is quite sweet. And then it goes to him, you know, trying to meet Santa, to convince Santa. Can he convince someone that he deserves this gun? Does he get the gun? Wait and see. And put it this way, am I happy I've seen the film? Yes. Is it a sweet film? And there were some moments where, you know, you see him bullies and stuff like that, and weird moments of, you know, memories of seeing your friend lick a frozen pole and his tongue getting stuck to the pole a la Dumb and Dumber, you know, like you get these stuff, and can the kid, you know, all of these fun moments occur in this film and certain great treasure, Christmas-esque feelings. However, and family feelings of a time past gone. However, for all the greatness that I've had with this film, would I watch it again? Yes. Would I watch it 4 times in one day? Never. I wouldn't even watch it twice in one day. I would love, and I'm not knocking this, but I would love to hear from our US listeners, viewers, what makes it such a standout moment? Because I don't even feel like it was very Americana. It wasn't like, this is America. Like, you know, I just want to know why A Christmas Story is something great. But it is a great film. It is a nice film. It is a sweet film. I just don't understand the hype of it being on loop in the States every year.
You haven't done the best job of making me want to watch it. I'm not going to lie.
It's a sweet film. It's a Christmas film. Imagine... I mentioned Arnie earlier, something like that, but from a kid's perspective, not the dad looking for the toy, the kid trying to convince his family to do it. With a hint, as I said, a hint of Stand By Me, where it's not just that, you've got elements of friendship, family, bullies. It's got a lot of grounded basis to it. It is a nice film. It is a nice film. As I said, it's definitely, I would watch it again. I will watch A Christmas Story again. I'm just not going to watch it again in a day.
Okay. I may check it out. Tis the season and all that.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So my number 10 then, yes?
Yes, please, sir.
I actually think you've been the bigger person on this occasion and left this movie off. So I'm going to say it's probably nearer and dearer to you than it is to me, but I don't think we're going to punt on it. Tim Burton's Batman Returns.
No, to be honest, it was there. It was on the list. And I just thought, Yes, it's the season of giving, and AJ should be giving everyone a comic book movie. But I just
literally that.
Yeah, there are just some nice films out there, and there's only one film that is Christmassy that goes against the Christmas grain that I was willing to share.
I'm all about counter programming, and I do like, you know, I'm no stranger to loving comic book movies as well. Not quite as much as my esteemed partner in crime here, but. And I think you've got a lot more love for Batman Returns than I do. But the thing I think I love most about including this in the list that it is that it kind of stops and makes people go, huh? It's like, yeah, think about it. It's literally set at Christmas. It's Christmas themed. The last lines of the movie are literally Merry Christmas, Mr. Master Wayne. Merry Christmas, Alfred.
And Penguin, my favorite line.
Huh?
My favorite line from the thing.
Which one?
Mistletoe is deadly if you eat it, but a kiss is even deadlier if you mean it.
There you go. And it's much like a movie, which I'm sure we're going to talk about later. It's peppered with these interesting little Christmas quirks, and, you know, there's Christmas trees in the sets, and it just makes you think, well, you don't put these in for shiggles, right? Shibs and giggle. It is a Christmas movie. It may not have the traditional Christmas themes, but it is a Christmas movie.
100%. I nearly did put it in. Deadpool 2 also nearly made the list, but I was like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
Good shout. My number 9 is one I saw for the first time, and a little bit disappointed I haven't had more fun with it, but I think it's down to the fact that this story has been told so many times in so many different variations. You know, the classic Charles Dickens Christmas Carol, right? And this time, it's just got Bill Murray, Scrooged.
Do you know what? If we were to ever do it, because it's not much, I don't think I've seen, I probably have seen Scrooged. I probably have, but forgotten it. I always lean to the Muppets. I shouldn't say that, just well, the fact that you said many iterations.
Look, full disclaimer, the Muppets were on my list. They were there, but I have brought them up in the previous two times you've done this. And I was like, you know, I'm going to, you know, we're all about edutainment here and watching new movies. And that doesn't just apply to encouraging our audience to do so, but we should do it too. Otherwise, we are hypocrites. And I was like, I could have a chilled week off and catch up with some Hogwarts Legacy, which I'm still playing because I have a child and I don't have as much time to game as I'd like. Could watch the new Monarch Legacy of Monsters series, or I could be a, you know, do right by the audience and actually watching a movie myself. Let's put Scrooge on. It's the Christmas Carol. He's basically Scrooge McDuck. He's Ebenezer Scrooge. He is visited by the ghost of Christmas past, Christmas present, Christmas future, right? The fun twist they have in this one, which I do like, is that he's a TV mogul, right? And it's about him seeing how he's affected people business-wise, past, present, and future, relationships, work, colleagues. So it's an interesting take on the Charles Dickens story, but it does all ultimately boil down to you're putting a bow on a package I've seen before.
Yeah, you've just modernized it. That's all you've done in it. Yeah.
And it's an interesting modernization, you know. It's why am I blanking? Who directed who directed Brazil and 12 Monkeys and
Sugar.
He was one of the Monty Python guys, wasn't
he?
Palin.
No, is it Michael Palin? No.
It's not Palin. It's definitely not Palin.
Oh God. It's bugging me because I can see his face.
I'm gonna have to look that up. I'm afraid, or it's gonna kill me. Right, Brazil.
Oh, it's bugging me.
Yeah, we'll get it. We'll get you there. Don't you worry. Terry Gilliam.
Gilliam, that's it.
So. It does have a Terry Gilliam vibe to it. Very much a Terry Gilliam vibe. It's not directed by Terry Gilliam, but it feels kind of like a Terry Gilliam movie in the way it's shot. You know, very, very naked, for lack of a better word. Very naked. It was interesting, but would I say watch it? Yes, it's worth a look to seeing you someone's take on this classic
Another take
story.
on it, yeah.
But I wouldn't say watch it for more reasons than that. Bill Murray's good. I mean, water is wet. Bill Murray is always good, but I liked it. I didn't love it, and I think I wanted to love it.
I get that. Talking Monty Python though, good old John Cleese. I've heard rumors that he's bringing back 40 Towers.
I told you that 3 months ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
I do not recall hearing that. Did
It's
we say on
confirmed.
camera?
They're filming already. It's not rumor. They're filming.
Yeah, I heard he's doing it with his daughter. Yeah, and
He's doing
Penelope
it with
Fiala.
his daughter, except they're not setting it in Torquay anymore.
Yeah, interesting. I know Connie
He's
Booth was a massive fan.
apparently in, I think it's either Florida or the Caribbean. He's opened up another bed and breakfast.
Interesting. Okay. There we
Please
are,
be
guys, just in
good.
case you didn't
Please
hear it
be good.
before.
Please be good. Please be good.
I know, and this is what Connie Booth was saying, his former ex-wife who played Polly. She's like, one, he didn't tell me, but they've also tried to do remakes of 40 Towers and it's not been good. I just hope that with John being on it, it does kind of lean to it.
You seen the
And
last two projects John's been involved with? Not really the best. Like Mind the Sun or Mind the Sunset or whatever it was called on
I've
BBC.
not seen
Who
that
was
yet.
it? Was
I'm
it
sorry.
my favorite British critic? What's he called? Oh, come on, I'm clearly got tired old man brain tonight. I always mention him. Really famous British critic with the glasses and the grey hair. Jesus, why am I blanking on him?
Oh, this
Anyway.
is good. Yeah.
This is bad. This is we're very tired tonight, obviously. But the he wrote something brilliant about Mind the Sunset, which was if this is what John got the project that brought John Cleese out of retirement. Wow, I would have hated. I would hate to see some of the scripts that he was sent before this.
Oh dear, oh dear. Okay, John, we're rooting for you here, mate. We're rooting for you. You can
That's
do
gonna
it.
drive me crazy. Sorry, I need to look famous. British Mark Commode. Jesus, I didn't even need to finish it off. Commode and Mayo, that's the show I like. Mark Commode, he's brilliant, by the way. And my number eight, AJ, it's a classic little fluffy thing, Gizmo in Gremlins. Gremlins is great. Is that a pun?
Okay, it's your number.
Eight.
My number seven.
Yay!
Yeah,
So fun.
that's
You
right.
come up with it, it's hard for you. Go for it.
Yeah, so look, I mean, here's the thing. I think it's higher for me because I just loved how sweet Gizmo actually was. Gremlins is a film that I have heard of for the longest while. Hadn't actually seen it till last year. I remember what it was. I can't remember
No
what it was we were
kidding.
watching. No, Gremlins was the first time I watched last year. I've not even seen two and three yet. Two, sorry.
There's a three?
Rumors are.
Like, two's
No,
great. I don't
rumors.
care what people
Yeah,
say. Two's a
two is
barrel
a
of fun.
rumor. But yeah, it was a first time watch, and I was actually just really disappointed it took me so long to see it. I the whole Mogwai lore and don't do this, don't do that, don't feed them, don't wet them. I've actually got it on the back of an Oyster card at the moment. Like I've got an Oyster card with Gizmo on it. Same picture you got, and it's got the rules on the back. It's absolutely awesome. And I wouldn't have bought that had it not been for the love that I've got of the film, you know. I funny enough, I've also got a Batman. The same day I bought that, I got the Batman Returns Oyster card holder. But small tangent, but I just love everything about it. The wildness of the other Mogwai that come about once they don't follow the rules. How sweet you can still have Gizmo and still just trying to get this whole adventure of trying to stop the madness that has occurred from it. I was just really happy that I finally saw it. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it as much as I did. That's the God's honest truth. And you know,
It's
it's the
such
thing,
fun,
it's
isn't it?
all little. This small little creature that was found in a small Chinese market that a dad brings back for his son, but at the same time looks at the potential of the marketing behind it because they can do it because they multiplied, but they shouldn't have multiplied. And it was great fun, and I do need to see number two. I really do.
People trash number two. I love it. I don't care. It's bonkers compared to number one, but in it like bonkers. It's number one is number one. I think still maintains as kind of a creature feature horror movie. Number two becomes a full on horror comedy. is like, okay.
It's one of those rare times that a sequel loses its identity. You know, it's kind of similar to like how you got First Blood and Rambo. They change aliens and alien and aliens. I've heard that this one, it goes from where one's a character, the other one's just a full out, all out comedy, and you're just like, what the hell is
that? No, it's made, I wouldn't even call it.
And a I comedy. Think that's what hurts
dark,
people.
Dark comedy, if anything, but it's just weird. Like what they do with the gremlins in number two, it's weird. For me, it worked. I was like, well, they're experimenting on them. Why do we have rules about this? Go nuts.
Cool.
Go nuts. Yeah.
Makes sense. All right. I am looking forward
to agree with this. Zach Gillian, who plays Billy in this, do you not think if he was that age now, he'd be the perfect casting for Shazam?
Yes.
He's got such Shazam energy, doesn't he?
Yeah. I'll give you that. I can work with that. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, that was my number 8, your number 7, so your number 6.
Right, we were talking about counter-programming. It's time to bring it up. Yippee-ki-yay, mofos.
No, that's a punt, sir.
Fair enough.
There is no yippee-ki-yay yet. Not yet. So that was your 6. Okay. So my number 7. Oh, I rewatched this and it I shouldn't laugh. It's one of those. This is one of those questions where comedy is so subjective. Like, yes, there are comedies which are more or less, because nothing is absolute, but there are comedies which are more or less universally loved. You know, your Hangovers, your 40-Year-Old Virgins, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. They exist. I don't know if people will find this movie as funny as I do. There are things in it. I don't know why. It just kills me. Bad Santa. It absolutely.
There has been a lot of love for this film. I'm not going to lie. I've not got around to. I say I've not got around to watching it. I'm sure I have watched part of it, and I don't know why I've not completed it. But there is a lot of love for Bad Santa. You're not alone. I do know that. You are
just
not alone.
Such a douchebag. I don't know. You're not meant to like him, and I don't like him. But God, he makes me laugh. God, I. I can't say that. Flub me Santa. I don't know why that makes me laugh. It kills me. And then her explanation of it is, you need to understand, I'm a young Jewish girl. Santa is like the forbidden fruit for us. It's just like
if you're listening on pod, I literally had to cover my mouth, and I think that's what sent Nico into hysterics, because I did not, part of me thinks I want to watch it tonight. I did not anticipate that to be, there's tears in my eyes. I did not anticipate that. I just thought it was someone who was getting freaky with Santa. I did not expect to hear the forbidden fruit line. It now makes me feel like I'm on par with the comedy that is being delivered in this film.
It's completely your comedy. It's very much kind of like, it's like American Pie and or Porky's meets Santa Claus meets Bank Heist. Because it's so funny. All Bad Santa, played by Billy Bob Thornton, all he's doing is he's working with, in the movie, not me, in the movie, because of its time, they still call him a midget, right? But he's working with a dwarf played by, is it Tony Cox? COX? I believe it's Tony Cox. Black dwarf.
Yeah.
Famous black dwarf. I'm pretty sure it's Tony Cox.
Work bad, can't really get his name.
But so it's the two of them essentially working together only at Christmas time. And Tony Cox,
It is Tony Cox,
yeah. What they're doing is they essentially masquerade as, you know, these, you know, come and sit on Santa's lap type thing, you know, Santa's grotto types. But then they're scoping out the shopping mall that they're doing this in. And every year they get together to rob a shopping mall. But in the interim, Bad Santa goes and spends 11 months of debauchery, mostly drinking, like is the alcoholism in the, like if we ever did a top 10 movies about alcoholism, wow, this is in there. And you know, he comes back, and this is where the movie kind of gets going. He comes back the following year in such a terrible state, like he's pissing his pants, he's, you know, the kids are sneezing on him and he's throwing them away. He's beating up the reindeer in front of the kids and freaking them out. He's having sex with little Jewish, not little, sorry, that sounded wrong. He's having sex with Jewish girls. He's he teaches if and the crux of the movie is that there's this really obese kid who kind of becomes his only kind of friend, but Santa still doesn't like him, but the kid does like him. Kid doesn't have a father figure, and through
Kind of like the kid
certain
in Up, kind of that kind of just constantly there at the
exactly, it's kind of like a real life version of that, right? And through completely illogical but semi-believable, according to the story, means, you know, Santa ends up living with this kid, you know, as his roommate because he's on the run. And he's like, well, this kid's not going to do anything to me. I'm just going to move in and muscle my way into his apartment. And he kind of uses the kid's really nice house as a base of operations type thing, where to hide out while he carries on this masquerading as a Santa. And dude teaches the kid how to punch guys in the balls, to deal with bullies. I mean, when I tell you there's a boxing scene where he's getting the kids to fight Brian Cox, Tony Cox, it's wrong in every sense of the word. But say it with me:
hilarious.
drunk Santa refereeing a match between obese white boy and black midget. It shouldn't work. But it's so, there you go, you're laughing. It's so wrong that it's funny. And I repeat, the M word, the midget thing, is not mine. It's in the movie. All right? It is. It's so wrong. It kills me. It absolutely kills me. Yeah, that's my number seven. I love Bad Santa.
Cool.
And yeah, you must watch it again, AJ. I think it's very much up your street. And my
I
number
need
six,
to I need to complete it. Yeah.
yeah, my
Okay.
number six is the punt from earlier, which was The Nightmare Before Christmas. I love this film. It can fall into the category of being both a Halloween movie, maybe even more so, but also a Christmas movie. It's both. It fills both criteria, but Tim Burton presents to us this stop motion animation, stop motion claymation almost world where you're in Halloween Town. And you know, you have a lore where there's these other towns. There's Easter Town, which we never see. There's, you know, Christmas Town, which is the main one they go to. And the head of Halloween Town, Jack Skellington, brilliant name, decides that he's going to fill Santa's shoes and put a scary spin on Christmas and invade, you know, people's Christmas. And it's charming. He kidnaps Santa and throws him to Oogie Boogie, which is a great villain also. And the animation is fantastic in it. The voice acting is great. The ideation behind it, you know, that what they've done to create these different realms, to the degree that I want to see Easter Town. Why didn't we get a sequel called The Nightmare Before Easter? I need that in my life. It's so unique and it's aged so well. Love it.
Yeah, no, I get it. I think, you know, it's the juxtaposition of where it can fall in there. I've not seen it as much as yourself either. You know, that kind of had it low. There's nothing wrong with the film. It's just the balance of it. And for me, my top five, essentially, especially the four onwards, they are just very, very Christmas themed and based. You know, that's all it is. I get very warm when feeling that when going into it, but no, it's a great film, very great film.
It really is. It's one I really can't wait to show my daughter. By the way, I just had a thought. When you, if slash when you ever have a kid, we're going to have to rebrand the channel to Silver Screen Dads.
From dudes to dads.
Yeah, man.
Oh,
And our entrance music will be "Evolution is a mystery."
Isn't it just? Oh God! And it goes into the young dudes. Yeah. He who hates Young Avengers will be training. It will be grooming the young dudes, the young screeners. Oh,
literally, literally that. To quote really? your brother who sent that meme in the group from Total Recall, "You are not you, you are me."
It's that, but I've just thought of it. It will be the young screeners and mini ministry.
Mini ministry.
Very good. Oh my days, what the future holds.
The minis of wrestling. Very good.
This is bad. Oh man. Okay. Right. I know this is
that was my number six, so you're number five.
I know this is a pun. I guarantee I know it's a pun. It's one of these films I always say I need to rewatch and I don't, and that's why it always ends up so middle ground for me. Love Actually.
Ah, what the banana punt.
Okay, I knew it. Okay, over to you.
Quote Bernie Mac, "What is wrong with you, boy?"
Okay. You're number five, sir.
Yes. No, I'm still in shock by that. "You are not you, you are me, but I'm going to tell you to put the cookie down now. Jingle All the Way is my number five."
And it's my number four.
It's good.
Yeah. Look, this to me is the kind of... Sometimes you can tell me rom-com.
I don't care what people say.
I don't understand that. Like, people could call it cheesy and like they don't like
it. It's cheesy as hell.
It's, yeah, it is. But I mean, like, it's a good cheesy. It's the warm and fuzzy.
It's cheesy.
Who never played Aladdin, yet the whole world believed he did. But yeah, I just have so much fun with this film. It's the spirit of Christmas, the Christmas rush pre-Amazon, before you could order stuff to be delivered to your door next day, or even having Argos deliver it. Argos being our closer, maybe Walmart, mate. I don't know. But it's that strong. Come again?
Argos, I guess, would be our equivalent of Costco.
Yeah, Costco's still different. Yeah, but yeah, Home Depot. Yeah, I don't know, but it's one of those stores that just has everything that you need. You just
put the magazine literally everything.
And again, this film shows Turbo Man, because before everything was console based, this was the PS5. Turbo Man is the PS5. Do you remember, guys, a couple of years ago when you had to go high and low, and if you didn't get the PS5 in time, you weren't getting it. You had to try absolutely everything. This is what's happened. As I said, A Christmas Story was a kid who just wanted to do everything to get.
Good comparison.
It was. It really
That's
is.
Really good. I never joined those dots. Turbo Man is the PS5. PS5 is Turbo Man. Einhorn is Finkel. Finkel is Einhorn.
That's the one. Where the gun wasn't in limited supply in A Christmas Story, and we've got Ralphie just doing everything to get it from a kid's point of view. Of we all know what it's like to really want that Christmas gift from Ralphie's point of view. This is a dad who knows how badly his son wants this gift, but messed up because through XYZ reasons, he didn't get the gift. So when Rita Wilson, am I correct? That's her name. Mrs. Tom Hanks. That is Rita Wilson. That...
Yeah.
As pops up and says, "So where's the gift?" And it's like, ah, I'm just going to get it.
Reminds me, you got the toy, right?
And again, it's not just any toy. It's the PS5, people. It's the toy. It's not any toy. It's the toy. It's Turbo Man, the biggest. And where he thinks, I'll just pop to any store, it's not that easy. And him, along with a few other people, including Sinbad, are on the chase. And we've got Arnie versus Sinbad in this ultimate showdown of two dads who just want to get that toy to make their son's day. So neither is the villain. They're just, well, they're both the villain because they flubbed up. But on the other side, they are good dads who just want to make it happen on Christmas Eve. And yeah, the chaos ensues. I love it. I it's always been great fun to me. Absolutely.
You know what's sad, right, is that, and this is showing how much we've aged, you watch Jingle All the Way as a kid and you look at little Jake Lloyd, you know, who would go on to... Yes. Things like play Anakin Skywalker, and as a kid, you kind of you know, you kind of side with him. It's like, yeah, man, why is the dad not around? You let him down, jerk off, yada, yada, yada. But now I'm seeing it as an adult with, you know, business growing and work growing and finding it harder and harder to find that balance in life. And it's so hard. It's so freaking hard.
Do you know
But, you know, I
the
could see
sad thing?
myself, I don't want to, but there is a very real possibility that I, you know, my daughter could be, I don't know, not a karate show. It could be, but maybe a ballet recital. I'm being super sexist here, but like a karate show, keeping character. Could be a karate show, just like in Turbo Man. And there's me stuck in Christmas traffic trying to reach it because I'm stuck in Christmas traffic because I've worked too late and I get home and everyone's angry with me. It's like, yeah, I can see that happening.
You know, it's so sad, and it is like dad doesn't care. But you know, when you look at it on the other side, how did dad make the money? And I'm not like simplifying the movie, but how does one make the, and mum's involved as well. I'm not saying it's only dad making it, but how does the parent get the money to get the toy? You have to go to work, and sometimes it's
I
there,
know,
but
but
it's
you
all
can't throw that, you can't throw that shib on your kid. You can't say,
you
I
can't,
work
you
late and
can't.
you don't see me because I'm making money for
Yeah,
you.
it's
You
not. It's, yeah,
can't
it's
throw
not
that.
that, but it's all with good intention, isn't it? Is what I'm saying. That's the key of what I'm saying is the older you get, it's funny how you just tilt the other way. You know,
It's
from as a kid, you were
so
like, "Oh,
hard.
no." No, my parents would never do that, and you kind of see hints of it, but you don't at the same time because let's be honest, Turbo Man was under the tree, you know? For better or worse. A lot of the times, it was there, so you're lucky. So I'm not like I. It's funny, and this is one of the things for me, without going into too much of a tangent, what one thing really gave me was the spirit of Santa when I was watching A Christmas Story.
Yes.
That whole element of Santa and what that means. And I'm not here to S on anyone's parade. I'm not going to do anything to say it. You know, Santa, how Santa comes about and how your parents get the gifts and how they both work together to bring a magical Christmas. I love it. I love it. And that's what these films show to me. My final thought, that's what I love.
Yeah, it is nice, you know. He's trying to get the toy. There's great moments, like you know, there's great little side stories too about the neighbor trying to squeeze in on his wife. Oh, these cookies! Put the cookie down now! You're eating my cookie. You know, when they end up in the in that tower, thinking there's a Turbo Man, and a freaking bomb goes off, and when they're running in the toy store, the parade at the end. There's all these great set pieces. I remember. It's fun. I know you, your booster.
It's that, and it's that, and it actually. And what's funny is they could have made it, you know, obviously copyright reasons, they would have had to affiliate themselves with Marvel, DC, or whatever. They actually made you want a Turbo Man without Turbo Man even existing. They created the need and necessity for Turbo Man in that as well. That's what I love about it. They just made it. It just feels magical. It
You know, the
is magic.
Turbo
It's a
Man in the
magic.
rocking, socking, jetpack, and shoot the thing at the arm. Of course, you wanted the Turbo Man, and you wanted it to look like Arnold. It was the best. So that was your number four, yeah?
Indeed, it was.
My five, your four. And my four is the punt from earlier. And I've been uber specific with the image I picked here, just to drive a point home, which kind of reinforces what I've always said about why this is a Christmas movie. My number four is Die Hard. Look at the background.
Nice. Yeah. Let's also include the lines. Ho, ho, ho. Now I have a machine gun.
Forget all that, because you could play Santa in summertime and be in Australia, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
Look, here's the thing. I'm going to leave this image up. You have, at the time, a very handsome young Bruce Willis, big action star in the making to be already, right? You've got Alan Rickman playing opposite him. I'm leaving this image up on purpose.
No.
Your director, you're, why am I blanking on all names tonight? Also, John McTiernan, Jesus. Your director, John McTiernan, you've made your Die Hard, your Predator, you know, you're one of the great action directors who know what, who, and no one remembers your name there, including me. And you're at this set in the Nakatomi Plaza with this great action set piece about to go down between your quintessential collar cop and this ultimate German terrorist. And you look at the set and you say, You know what we need to make the action bigger here? Christmas tree. No one does that.
You know what's missing in an action film? The Christmas spirit.
Does that. There is a Christmas tree in the background and a Santa toy and a Christmas party in the Nakatomi Plaza, and they're invading on Christmas when everyone's getting boozy and off work, and there are Christmas lines being ushered, and he's visiting his family because it's the holiday season, because it is a freaking Christmas movie. How is this still a debate? You do not, as a director, look at an empty movie set before the cameras are rolling and go, hey, Bobby, like I don't know why I've gone on New York on this bay. Let's stick with it. We're in character now. Hey, my paisan, eh? Hey, AJ,
come on.
Hey, the director's talking now, Bobby. You gotta wait your time. Now, listen here. I like what we're doing here. I like the big booms. I like the bangs, but I'm not feeling the action. We need some sparkle. We need some glitter. And I don't just mean from those explosions. Put a freaking tree in there. No! The tree's there because it's a freaking Christmas movie.
It's R-rated. Let's try and make it PG-13. Let's throw some Christmas in it. That was not the intention. There's nothing in it apart from it being a Christmas movie. Work with it, people. Get with it.
Of course it's a Christmas. How you can argue that is beyond me. And people are like, oh, but it's one of those like Batman Returns where it doesn't have themes of Christmas. I'm sorry, what? How? Christmas is about being together with your family. Why is he in LA? Having flown in across an entire continent? Yeah.
There we go.
Of course it's a freaking Christmas movie, you dirty ho-ho-ho mother flubber. Okay. Now we can say yippee-ki-yay and move on.
There we go. That was your number four.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So my number three, again, kind of like your punted film, is a film I always say I need to see again. It's a better version from what I remember of what I know is going to be my worst for sure, maybe a joint worst. I'm very sure it's going to be a joint worst. It stars the late... I'll give him late great Dudley Moore and John Lithgow. It's called Santa Claus the Movie. Now, this was released in 1985, and it's essentially a story of the how Santa came to be and him now in the world and them exploiting him in the TV world and what have you. But what I always remember about this film and being born in 1985, when it was made its way to TV, it's very much one of the earlier Christmas films I've seen, I think. But I just remember seeing what was the North Pole, the elves making the toys and everything, and just get kids getting their gifts and their wishes, and seeing like the book of who's naughty and who's good, who's naughty and bad. Ah, naughty and nice. That's the one. Tiredness definitely kicking in. Dudley Moore. Dudley Moore is one of the, he's called Patch. He's one of Santa's elves who's also there to keep the spirit alive and whatnot. And honestly, as much as I can't say I've seen this film more than that, it's, you know, again, kind of like Scrooge, them trying to exploit Santa for the benefit of Christmas and that. And it just reminded us of all the goodness of Christmas. It's the nostalgia. Anytime I think of Christmas, I just think of again, like you said for Die Hard, the scene setting. And I just, this is what warms me, this film. Without having seen this film for, I'd guarantee it 25 years. It could even be longer than that. It could be 30, 32 for argument's sake. It's something that's very much ingrained in my head and warms me of the elements of Christmas, and I can't let go of it. And it's always going to be high ranked, even though I've not seen it, because of how ingrained it is in my head.
I haven't seen it. I cannot comment, but it sounds nice.
Oh, I get it. But it's just one of those that warm me. I might watch it and be like, well, that was quick, and that was maybe not as good as I remember. As a kid, it was just everything for like a Christmas spirit, and I can't let go of it.
All right. Sounds nice. I'll check it out.
Thank you.
My number three, a movie that I saw for the first time during lockdown. There's a throwback.
Yeah.
And it was when we were counting down those Empire's top 100 movies. And this came up in sort of low 40s. High, essentially. High ranking. starring one of my favorite, maybe my favorite classical actor, old James Stewart, in It's a Wonderful Life. I adore this film. And you know what I particularly love about it is director Frank Capra, what he did, because this came out in 1946. James Stewart had just come back from World War II and he didn't want to act anymore. Frank Capra got him back into acting with this movie, and then he went on to make more great films. So I'm eternally grateful for this movie for giving James Stewart an even longer runtime. But this movie's so wonderful. You've seen it, right?
Yes, I've seen the one.
It's
Such
so
a very.
lovely. The way that a guy who is inherently good but just thinks that he's not making a difference in the world, thinks that he doesn't have anything to offer, but then gets shown, kind of in another spin on the Charles Dickens tale, arguably the best one, but kind of gets shown that
I'll
if
give you
he
that,
didn't
yeah.
exist, how bad the world would be in his local town without him, and how much of an impact he does make on people. And it really does tell you to just sometimes take a step back, and it's such a positive message. Stop beating yourself up so much. Because, yes, ultimately, in someone's story, we are the villain. There's no doubt. It's not possible. In someone's story, in their own perspective, we are the villain. We are the Thanos, right? But we're not bad people at our core. And that's what this movie's trying to say. And my full name begins with an L. Yes. I stand by that. And
But you could, no, I'm not gonna go there.
this movie really takes a step back and says, look, notice that you do make a positive impact on some people. And it's probably more people than you realize. And doesn't that in turn make you good? And doesn't that mean that your life is therefore worth living, if not only for your own selfish endeavors? It's lovely. I love this film.
Yeah, no, it's a sweet one. I was a bit patchy, and I know I need to watch it again. I know it was touching. It's really touching, and
Really touching.
it's a great film. Oh, so sometimes you just feel like if it wasn't for the employment status, you would just go and watch a whole catalogue of films or ask for a pod. It really it just has me in that mood. Like I need to watch It's a Wonderful Life again. I need to watch this one again. But yeah,
Oh,
hopefully
preach.
time will permit it. Again, guys. As much as I say, we're recording at literally 5 past midnight. We're releasing this now, so you have a nice little countdown of films in the build up to Christmas. Get into the spirit. Try and find these films wherever you can, wherever you are in the world. It's just to give you that warm unison that is Christmas. It's a feeling you can't replicate all too often, you know. I am aware that if you're not of certain religions, there are other festivals that do match that. But that's what we're just trying to do. Just spread some joy in a good time. Sorry, that's a public service announcement paid to you in part by the film Grindits. Okay, right. In at number two, there's no way this film wasn't going to make the list. Let's just be 100% honest. It's the man who recently got his Hollywood star. Just yesterday, actually, at the time of our, well, 2 days ago, it's after midnight now. Good old Macaulay Culkin.
Really?
Little Kevin McAllister. Yeah. Literally, I saw it yesterday. I saw the pictures yesterday. He's got his Hollywood Walk of Fame star. And the
Oh, that's
lady who played
great.
his mum, yeah. The lady who played his mum was with him as well. It was really touching, actually. But yeah, little Kevin McAllister, Home Alone. Like, yeah.
That's also
But,
my
and
number
I am
four.
happy. There we
That's
go.
my number,
There we
yeah.
go. Like, and you know what? For everything that's happened, yeah, Macaulay Culkin deserves it. I know he went through one terrible time shortly after Richie Rich or whatever that was, that last film, because adult Macaulay Culkin was not as cute and did not have as much, like he went down a very dark road and did not deliver films that I can't say I've seen an adult Macaulay Culkin movie. But
No.
what he did for our childhood, oh my God, does that boy deserve that star on on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, be it the Home Alone, the Uncle Bucks, the why am I freezing there? My girl, like he just delivered Pagemaster, like it was everything. Everyone wanted to be Macaulay Culkin. He was just that cool. He was just in everything, you know. And Elijah Wood came in to be North. Like, no, Macaulay Culkin should have been North. He was the one everyone wanted to be. But yeah, but Home Alone is just the definition of the cool Christmas movie, isn't it? It's the idea of being a young kid stuck at home, the freedom you have and what you're going to do. But it's all taken and shaken by the fact that the Wet Bandits have chosen to try and invade your home. And now you get to have all the gadgets under the sun. It's mad, it's crazy. But at the helm of this whole escapade of making your house a big death trap is the essence of family. You know, it's that moment of loneliness that after all the fun is over, no man is an island. You do kind of, even those people that you swore blind, you didn't want to talk to, you do kind of miss them after a while. It's a great movie. Great fun. But again, the older you get, the more touching it can get at some point.
Yeah, I got it. Hey, I was just looking for it as you were doing your thing. Home Alone reunion is Macaulay Culkin gets Hollywood Walk of Fame. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Can you believe that he's 43 now? Jesus Christ.
It's mad. Jesus. Do you know it's mad? But I also felt like there was potentially a bigger gap between me and Macaulay Culkin, which is weird. Mind you, no, it's about right. It's about right.
I was going to say, how old are we now, right? Damn. yeah, fact. Poor kid, man. He really did spiral in when he hit adulthood and he started, yeah. Couldn't handle, yeah. I'm very glad we're living in a world now where child stars have got better support systems around them. And, you know, it's
a lot of
it's still possible to obviously go down that route. But you've got better systems in place now to be preventative. You know, it's nice to see that people like Elle Fanning are thriving. People like Jacob Tremblay look like they're going to do well. Kirsten Dunst came out really well. You know, it's
Millie Bobby Brown's doing good stuff for herself. Do you know, like there's a few people.
Yeah, she's been touched up by Drake. She's doing great.
There we go. That was not what I was highlighting. I just believe that she's done some really good work from Stranger Things.
Wonder how long that one's been going on for.
Oh, maybe there's a different hotline that should be blinging. But I'm not going.
Dude, yeah. I'm just saying it looked like grooming to me. I'm just going to put that one out there.
Don't.
It's one. What is it that that judge said? I can't put a definition on porn, but I know it when I see it. I saw Dre with Millie Bobby Brown. I was like, I can't say that.
I'm actually unaware of that.
I'm smelling this and it doesn't make me feel comfortable.
I was actually unaware of that till you said it. And it just, like, my reaction was, I just saw the age gap and it was a bit awkward.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit like, mate, not cool. Sounds like positive child star. Bella Ramsey, there's another one. She's doing so good now, Jesus. From Game of Thrones to Last of Us, she's got that new the follow-up to Time, that season one of Time, I think Sean Bean was in on BBC, and she's in the new ones. Really good show, by the way. It's only like 3 or 4 episodes a season.
What's it called?
Time.
I think
it's literally about being locked up in prison. It's great.
Okay.
Really well written. But yeah, Home Alone, man. Quintessential Christmas movie as far as I'm concerned. Not my favorite, but the quintessential Christmas movie. And shows every little kid's dream of, I want to be alone at Christmas. Wait, maybe I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I have a feeling we got the same worst. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Like, it's Elf. If you're listening on pod, it's Elf.
But what? Elf is the best Christmas movie. Elf is the best. Will Ferrell's so funny. This movie's great. Oh my God. How can you guys say it's the worst?
Did you see yesterday in the comic book group, I posted something. I said the comments are quite refreshing. They said one's got to go and they posted four Christmas movies at the time. I can't even remember what they are. What was so refreshing was the amount of people that said Elf was category C. The amount of people was like, C, definitely C, most definitely C. Can't stand Will Ferrell. I don't even see how C is an option, is even in this category when you've got such bangers. It was just lambasted. And I was actually, as I said, it was refreshing to see it because in the list of films that I have put up there, even if we took away the counter programming of Batman Returns and Die Hard, I could find other Christmas movies that would fit there. You know, this is just not gonna make it. It's not gonna make it. It's a failed version of Big. It's a failed version of the Christmas Santa Claus movie that I've mentioned. It's a failed version of any comedy that I can think of. It can I be
Best
honest?
failed version of, it's just a failure.
Yeah, I if I'm honest, my disdain for Will Ferrell is probably from this film. I've not given Talladega Nights and the rest and Anchorman a try. But I think I'd probably find it funnier or give it a shot had it not been for the stupid man child that I'd seen in Elf. I just saw someone who I thought was trying to take, and yeah, here we go. Once again, 90s kid going and he's, defending his territory. Okay, boomer. Like, it looked like someone who was trying to take Jim Carrey's reins and was failing miserably. It just, like,
Miserably.
there was nothing that felt redeeming. I have never watched the beginning nor the end of Elf. I remember catching a part of it and be like, let's see what the hype is about. And I saw this man in the most ridiculous performance I've ever seen anyone give. And it stands out that I just can't take it in. And don't get me wrong,
It's
sometimes
pantomime. That's what he does. He's pantomime.
I just couldn't,
It's
I can't hack it. Can't hack it. If the day ever comes that I'm like, oh, Elf is going to be on my top 10 list, I can't see it. I cannot see it. I can't bring myself to watch the film. And I know with everything that we do, the whole edutainment, we owe it to you guys to probably watch it. I can't see myself doing it.
No, hell no. I've done it once enough. The thing is that I think I've actually watched more Will Ferrell movies than you at this point.
Potentially. Don't get me wrong, there are some Will Ferrell movies that I can actually get on with, like The House. I thought that he was okay in him in Austin Powers 2 was something you can look back at and have a laugh
Yeah,
at.
because he's in it for a split second and breaks his leg. It's joyous. And it is beginning to smell a little like almonds. Good. Bleed.
No, it just doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for me.
He's a walking, talking pubic hair, mate. What's your number one?
I think this is going to surprise you. I think it even surprised me because I probably would have gone down other routes. But there is just something very redeeming, as I said, about the spirit of Christmas. I'm going to say it's the remake. Some people might think it's the first. I remember there's an original. Miracle on 34th Street.
That's Richard Attenborough, isn't it? Yeah. It's a lovely movie, this one.
It's that. It's the essence of a man trying to prove to the world that he is Santa Claus, and the fact that he's just working in one of your malls, and he's just like, I'm Santa, and people just not wanting to believe it because what they just said, like, he's taking it too far. It's not on, and him going to court and having to prove himself, they're wanting to section him because he just will not ref he refuses to meet anyone else but Santa Claus. And I don't want to give the spoiler to it, but I always found the message at the end with the dollar bill to be the ultimate answer. And if someone is doing this in the element to bring joy, what does it mean? And there's one girl who believes in him when the whole world just sees him as this quack, for better or worse of it. I there's something, it's the magic of Christmas that I think is just captured in it. It's just,
I'm
I'm
gold.
here to show you the essence of what Christmas, okay, Christmas being the birth of a savior, if you want to, is really the root of it. Outside of that, this, when you bring it down to bringing people together, much like your number one will show, the elements of, for me, when I see Christmas, I want to picture Santa Claus and what have you. And that's why I think it just embodies it. It just embodies it without having to go into the whole, right, yeah, you do get the reindeer and everything in it as well. There's just something about this film. And I've not seen it a lot, if I'm honest. I've not seen this film a lot, but it's the magic of it, of making what, how can I say? The artificial real is the part, fiction becomes reality with this film, and that's what I really like about it.
Yeah, it's a nice film, AJ. I can't really fault you for that. It's a really nice film.
Thank you.
But my number one.
Bro, I get it. I get it all day long. I get it all day long. I always think I take it back, and I know there's a lot of
Love Actually is not only all around, but Love Actually is the best Christmas movie.
Look,
Now,
my again, I talked about my friend James and Francesca. James showed Fran this film for the first time, his friend's first time, and she really enjoyed it. And I'm happy to hear someone enjoyed it. It's just that The magic of Love Actually could be found in any given time. Love Actually could even be a Valentine's Day movie. It didn't have to be set at Christmas. Again, yeah, much like Die Hard, it could be an awesome one. Do you know what I mean? But that's kind of where I fall in the ground of it, whereas the others I feel like are very grounded in Christmas for me. And that's why it kind of lost its positioning for it. But it's there's nothing negative about Love Actually. That's my defense. I'll let you sell it for what it is.
Dude, I absolutely love this film. I love the various characters that they present to us, from Bill Nye's, you know, fornicating, drug-fueled, larger-than-life second coming of success story. I love Rowan Keating kind of playing the
Christian.
Rowan Atkinson, sorry, not Ronan Keating. Jesus Christ, that's a whole different movie. Rowan Atkinson almost playing like, you know, the subliminal consciousness of Christmas. They very much imply that he's some sort of spirit, don't they? Which I love. It's never explained, but it's implied. I love the fact that, you know, Laura Linney has to be there for her brother who's, you know, in a, who's been sectioned, but she's still there for him. I love Martin McCutcheon and Hugh Grant's relationship, and the way that her being around him gives him strength to find some courage and stand up to the evil bad Santa himself, Billy Bob Thornton. And then the dance that ensues, Colin Firth going off and doing his little, you know, escapades abroad and finding a woman who he just genuinely falls for. Are there some things which are... Yeah, they're going to talk about, you're going to talk about the signs with Keira Knightley and stuff, obviously. Is it creepy? But there's not a man out there who hasn't done some weird shib for some punani. I know people will be like, oh, I'd never do that. Shut up. If you fell hard enough, you'd do worse. So don't even go there. What I really, you know, even little silly things like what's his face going to America and finding the girls to fall in love with his British accent. It's just so charming. And Liam Neeson with his, you know, and I don't even like Liam Neeson, but I love him in this film with his kid and worrying about him since their mother died. There's all these quite heavy things going on with all the characters, you know, sectioned brothers, dead wives, not being able to hold relationships down, cheating on your spouse at Christmas, which, you know, the dearly departed Alan Rickman does. There's all these really kind of heavy themes going on with all the characters. But they somehow manage to get through it all. They all come together despite all of the crap in the world. And it just, much like It's a Wonderful Life, I'm like, yeah, man, like there's so much rubbish we have to deal with. There's so much heavy shib we have to deal with as people, but sometimes it's just nice to think about one of the terminals at Heathrow and seeing your loved one and embracing. It's just like, yes.
Can I be honest? As you guys know, I've just been away. I was in Gran Canaria literally a week ago, and walked through the door at this time a week ago, and walking through arrivals to your home country, I couldn't help but have a smile on my face. There was no one waiting for us at the other end, but I just felt that moment of what Love Actually was. And I was just like, I pictured the happiness of people meeting their people on the other side of that gate. It was really weird. I had never thought of it before. I've experienced it by picking people up. You know, I've always been with my dad when the family members were there. We always picked up family. But when Hugh Grant says it at the beginning of Love Actually, when I want to picture happiness, I think of the arrival at an airport, and I saw it there. And it put a smile on my face before I even walked through the gate. I'd never thought of it before, but that's one thing that is a takeaway for me from Love Actually. I'd never seen it before. I'd never consciously thought of it. I was aware of it, but never consciously thought of it.
I think it's inherently charming, and I think people are far too quick to judge some of the shortcomings of the characters in this movie, which I maintain are very real shortcomings, which we as fallible people will do, and that it's so easy to stand on some sort of high and mighty on a soapbox and be like, you know, what they're doing is wrong. Yeah. You never done anything bad in your life, buddy. Shut up.
Yeah.
The movie isn't afraid to show the stupidity that people will do. but also show that despite our bad decisions, our evil doings, we still somehow manage to find love, because love actually is all around. It's lovely!
That's a great film. It's a great film. Nothing but love for it.
So, would you respond well if I said to you, let's not include Die Hard despite it being on both our lists, because it's an automatic win?
Yeah. But there's two things. I think, like, you'll spend more time debating why it is a Christmas movie than not being a Christmas movie. I also, despite it being on both our lists, think Love Actually shouldn't be on the list, because I think I wouldn't want to see the hate that comes towards it. That's the thing. I'm trying to just keep it in a good spirit. I understand where you're going with it. If you believe that it's not going to be one of the... You said it yourself, the amount of hate that comes around with that film. Let's try and keep it a bit positive. If you feel that it's not going to bring that... Because again, that can also lead to Annihilation, which I don't really want to do to Love Actually.
Not with Home Alone on there, it's not.
Hmm?
Home Alone, well, Annihilation for Love Actually.
Yeah.
No chance. Well, it'll get bashed, but it'll also get loved. It's not getting annihilated. It's not getting Coach Carter or James Wan, I assure you.
Okay. Why don't we?
So effectively, we've got five movies to choose from. Jingle All the Way, Gremlins, Love Actually, Home Alone, and The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Well, Home Alone and Jingle All the Way. Let's definitely secure those two.
Okay, let's secure those two. Home Alone and put the cookie down. I'll never get bored of saying it to the Christmas and the Rudolph and the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Oh, do you know what I landed on my missus the other day, which really annoyed her, actually, speaking of reindeer? So, you know, there's that she presented it to me like it's some sort of new fact, and I'm like, 10-year-old meme, but carry on. It was the whole, male reindeer lose their antlers in the winter, which goes to show that all of Santa's reindeer are female, which is true, right? And she tried to throw something at me, being like, yeah, look, women always carrying men's weight. And I was like, it also shows that women are incapable of being friends, which is another stereotype. And she's like, what do you mean? And she was like, what do you mean? They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
Walked into that one.
I was so proud of myself to come up with that in the moment. I was like, yeah. Come at me with that meme culture. Women be bullies, bro.
Now I'm trying to question if Rudolph's red nose was to indicate a certain time of the month, but that's just being a prep. That's just being a prep.
So what, then the play any reindeer games gets a whole new sexual impact.
We're stopping there. I'm not.
Not yet. Cutting it out. You must wait. But surely, if they were all being kept in the stables together, that they synchronize, don't they? The cycles start synchronizing, so they'd all have red noses.
Oh, do you know what? I really wish she didn't do this. I really did wish she didn't do this, because now I'm getting misogynistic, and I didn't want to. Because I saw a picture recently where Comet's asking Santa, why am I the one who has to always do the cleaning? And he goes, really, Comet? So obviously Comet is one of the cleaning products in in America. And now we could go down to, of course. Yeah, I'm not even going to continue that joke. I'm sure you know where I'm going with it. Be careful. Be careful what
you my family pulling it.
All I'm saying... All I'm saying, people, is be careful what throws... I always say it to people. If you're going to throw it, make sure you can catch it. Okay? That's all I'm saying. I'm leaving it there. You free attack. We just played 10
to not catches it and gives it back to you. Have the courtesy to laugh and just know you done got done.
Yeah. Right. Nick, I'm gonna give it to you. Take Love Actually. I know how much it means, and I have.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
What was
the other thing? I think Before Christmas should go on.
Yeah. I was tempted to do that again, and I say this because Nightmare Before Christmas is grounded in that, whereas Gremlins, it could have been a gift at a birthday. At one point, I even had to try and remember if it was a Christmas gift or a birthday gift. So I'm sure there's parts that make it a bit more Christmassy. I've only seen the film once, but yeah, Nightmare Before Christmas. Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the official movie Mount Rushmore of Christmas movies, excluding Die Hard, in no particular order, is
Nightmare Before Christmas.
our second entry is
Love, actually.
is the best Christmas movie.
Our third entry is
Home Alone.
our final entry into the movie Mount Rushmore of Christmas movies, excluding Die Hard, is
Jingle All the Way. I think I know which
a good movie too.
I think I know which order it's going to go. I'm not going to sway the votes, but I know who's going to get a battering. Yeah,
Yeah, Jingle's
it was said
getting
last.
smashed.
Yeah, Jingle All the Way's getting demolished. I know that, sadly. I don't even think it's worth changing it for Gremlins because I don't know how much more Gremlins would. Because that
No
seems
better.
strong.
No better. But the problem is that if you swapped any either Jingle All the Way and Gremlins of Die Hard, then the other three get battered.
It's quite interesting. Okay, guys, right. You know what to do now. We've done it. We've created the four must-see. That's the Rushmore. But now to crown the one, it's time for laser focus. That's my new thing. Yeah, laser
Laser.
focus. Focus. Head on over to X at Movie Polls for You, fronted by good old JT of Reloved Movies. And again, we'll be retweeting it. You've got your contenders. Put the vote out. And next week, we will be announcing the winner.
Winner. And yeah, so go head on over to our Twitter page at Movie MT Rushmore to cast your vote. Next week we will be doing the top our top 10 most anticipated movies of 2024. Before rounding off the year with our top 10 movies of 2023. And it's been a freaking great year for movies. I won't
Actually, a
hear otherwise.
really interesting year.
It's
Not
been
gonna
a
lie.
really good year, one of the better ones I can remember in recent memory. Really not a lot of duds. But that is all from us this week, guys. Thank you as always for joining us. And we will see you next week right here on the Movie Mount Rushmore. Do be sure to check out our new shows and our new segments. And there should be a movie review for Wonka coming out sometime in the next few days. There'll definitely be a review for Godzilla Minus One coming out next week. And a review
Don't
for
disrespect,
Aquaman. Huh?
don't disrespect Kong and Godzilla while you're at it, then. You got to do that as well.
What did I say?
You said minus one. But I'm saying you've got to do Kong and Godzilla as well, don't you? Isn't that coming out soon?
Godzilla X Kong?
Yeah.
2024, brother.
Oh, my bad. All right, cool.
Add that to your list for next week if you wish.
Maybe. Cool.
But yeah, guys, we'll see you very soon. Bye for now.
See ya.